Okay, so this is multiple choice, right? Multiple choice as to what we talk about first. Your choices are A, your new movie, B, seagulls.
All thrilling
or
subjects.
Or C, the Wimbledon draw.
I must say.
All thrilling subjects. They could go in any direction. But
well, let's leave the Wimbledon draw for a minute. So let's do what's happened with seagulls. Did you get shat on?
I just don't like them. I find them. I don't know what happens. I'm in Eastbourne on the south coast. They're really big, sort of not normally big, like genetically modified big.
Oh, they're absolutely huge. It looks like they could break your arm.
Horrible, aren't they? A friend of mine was mugged. I don't know if that's a technical word to use, by a seagull that swooped down, clonked her on the head.
I don't know if you can say it's mugged if like. You're not at a knife point or something.
No, hang on. Listen to what happened here. Right, listen to what happened here. Swooped down, clonked her on her head with its wing. She dropped her sandwich. She followed down, picked up the sandwich and flew off. So yeah. she was mugged, right?
No. The seagull rudely took her sandwich.
Oh, my word. And this is, I think, is this the only tennis tournament in the world where players at a certain point of the day get dive-bombed on court by giant seagulls?
Well, they like to get involved. But they are huge, really. They're no joke. What I don't understand is like people still go to the beach and eat food. What are you doing? You don't eat food at the beach. You can't. You get completely annihilated.
No, but hang on. If you live here, okay, you don't eat food at the beach. You don't walk along eating a sandwich. You can't open a window because a few years ago, I had a window open. I had a shower. I came out and I was eye to eye with a really big seagull sat on my windowsill. What do you do?
I remember we talked about it. And I remember being down in Eastbourne and I left my window open when I went to the tennis because it was so hot that day. And I came back and my room was just completely trashed. It had been trashed by seagulls. So, look. I'm in agreement. Everyone's in agreement with you. They're not pleasant, are they?
No. That's so. I needed to address that. I feel I needed to talk about it because
therapy.
They freak me out. I feel better now. Yeah. they just freak me
You'll
out.
You'll be
a
out
bit.
Of Eastbourne soon.
Yeah, we got the final. We are recording this Friday evening. We've got the final tomorrow between Madison Keys and Daria Kasatkina, and then it will be the move to Wimbledon. So your choice is now down to two: your movie or the Wimbledon draw.
Well, let's do the movie, not a movie, first, because the Wimbledon draw is probably what we want to get stuck into. So we can briefly touch on the movie. Yes, the trailer dropped. Isn't
very
that exciting?
Very exciting.
Not to be confused with the Netflix trailer with Zendaya in it, because I got a lot of people sending me things about that one and issues they had, because that's what people are like. And I was like, no, that's not our one. So yeah, it was on my Twitter. If anybody wants to see it who hasn't seen it, but yes, the trailer is out and it will be released. Look, I don't know where it's going to be released, where and when around the world. In the UK, it's released on Prime.
Yeah, when?
On the 21st of July, so the week after Wimbledon.
Ooh, okay.
But yeah, globally, I just don't know, guys. I'm so sorry.
No, but people, isn't there that thing that you can use on your computer so you can watch things wherever you are?
A VPN, yeah, you can use a VPN. Yeah. But then you've got to have Amazon Prime in the UK, so it's a bit more difficult. But for those people who are over sort of for the grass court season, if they're still around the week after, then they can watch it. But yes, it's going to be out soon. Feedback was pretty positive, actually. I was sort of holding my breath a little bit. Because it's difficult, because I know that I've worked miracles. There's no point in me attempting to be humble about this at all, because the conditions that I was working under, and in the most positive ways, this is just the TV industry, right? It's not, you know, we had barely any time, you know, barely any budget. It was sort of make it look like this person can win the French Open. As I say, I know I've done incredibly well considering the conditions, but the problem is that everybody watching at home is not going to know the conditions or care.
It's very exciting. And I remember when you messaged me and you sent me the trailer and not that you don't normally get excited. Okay, right. The two things you in recent time have got genuinely excited about are this movie / not a movie and Casper Ruud in his suitcase.
You drove past it. You drove past my house.
Not only have I seen Casper Ruud and his Samsonite suitcase, but I've been working with Naomi Brody this week, who has been invited to a Ruud Samsonite event. Ooh. And you go to the event and you leave with a Casper Ruud Samsonite suitcase.
Very nice, very nice. But it was a good advert, wasn't it? Because I sent you a picture of it. And then I think you literally drove down that road and saw it. I think it's only at the bottom of my road. I feel like he's stalking me.
No, there's no, because I was speaking to Anki Othvong, the Billie Jean King Cup captain for Great Britain, and she'd seen the advert near her as well.
Yeah, because Anne lives around the corner from me.
Yes, but I didn't see it where you saw it. I saw it somewhere else.
I saw it elsewhere.
Honestly,
it's targeted, you know, this targeted marketing now is targeted specifically to my address.
But we were even talking, saying it's quite random in many ways. Yes, you might look up and say, oh, there's a nice looking lad with a suitcase. But there's not an awful lot of people who are going to know who that lad with the suitcase is.
That's why I got so excited. Is this Casper Ruud transcending tennis like Federer did? Is this what this is?
I don't know. It's a suitcase. No, it's not. No, it's not. But honestly, the most excited I've heard you, and I don't want people to think you don't get excited, was about Casper Ruud's suitcase. And about your movie/TV series, which I've got to say the trailer, I mean, it's good, isn't it? It's exciting. I mean, I kind of want to know. Well, you've kind of told me what happens in the story, but I want to watch it.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's what the trailer's for. I genuinely am just very proud of it. We had a press junket yesterday. I couldn't be there because I was at Wimbledon qualifying. You know, it's a busy season. It's a busy time of year. And obviously, they want to do everything around the grass court season. So, it's just... really, really proud of the work that we've done, and I think the trailer looks fantastic. And it's amazing to think where we started and where we've ended up. So yeah, I'm just hopeful that it goes down well, you know, and that the trailer seemed to go down well. My tweet went viral.
What do you classify as viral? What is viral?
Well, I don't know. It was just abnormal, right? Like, I mean,
maybe it wasn't viral. It was abnormal.
If it isn't viral abnormal?
Possibly.
Okay. The tweet was abnormal. How exciting.
It looked, I know it's not a movie, but it looked like a movie. The trailer looked like a movie. I didn't come away, if I hadn't known it wasn't a movie, it looked like a movie. Doesn't it?
Well.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose. There's nothing in there to say that it's a TV series, but it's a very long movie because it's 6 episodes of 45 minutes, so that's 5 hours.
Oh, wow.
So it's a 5-hour long movie.
That's like Lord of the Rings or something. I mean, we're getting into... Yeah, no, that's a long way. No, I'm very excited. I am going to be in Madrid the week after Wimbledon working.
So you'll have to get a VPN so you can watch it.
Yeah, I don't understand how to do it. I tried it once. It didn't work. Or I'll just save it till when I get back and I've got a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch it. You mentioned there, though, you couldn't go to the press thingy because you were at qualies. How has Wimbledon qualified? Because I imagine Wimbledon qualifying... is a really happy, sad, emotional experience, all the kind of stories that are unfolding.
Yeah, well, the last day, I mean, I loved it. I was there for the 4 days commentating and the last day was just amazing. And actually, I came off of commentary and I was doing all the post-match interviews. So the challenge was to get every single post-match interview of every qualifier. But if you think we have 18 courts going at the same time, I'm not exaggerating, it's just 18 courts. And... you know, you've got three that are a game away, spread over quite a large area. So we were just sprinting around. Our poor cameraman had a 20-kilo camera on his shoulder. And we just, for 5 hours, were just running everywhere, trying to find everybody and stuff. So, but the interviews were so good, so emotional, so, yeah. Yeah, just, I absolutely loved it. I mean, it was great. And we had so many new qualifiers. At the beginning of the day, there were 37 of the 64 players competing that had never been to the Wimbledon main draw before. And so I felt like my first 6-7 interviews were like, wow, first time in the main draw. How excited are you? So everybody was just completely buzzing. It was very, very cool.
I imagine the challenge, though, when you're there doing the interviews is knowing all the stories, because it can be so emotional. You find someone that's tried for years and years, or something's happened to someone, or this is dedicated to someone else. And because when you get to the main draw, we know these guys and girls. And if you're following someone, you can say, oh, right, they've done this and they've come through this. But a number, and look, there were some massive names in qualifying who did and didn't make it. But it's those little stories of those who maybe aren't as well known. And you're suddenly being... go to this court, run over there, that person's won. And you just, it's quite a challenge, isn't it? Because you want to be asking the right things to get their Wimbledon qualifying story out of them.
Yeah, and I can tell you that I've never, ever done so much research for a day of work in my life. I researched 64 players because
wow,
that's how many we're playing. And you're right, you know, you and a lot of them are really new faces, loads of young players coming through. It was amazing. And you need, and as I say, you literally get sort of, it's match point on court seven and you run over, so you can't look anything up. You just run over, you walk on and you do it. And yeah, I mean, you need to be able to, you need to know, like, is it their first time at Wimbledon? You know, for example, I interviewed Storm Hunter, formerly Storm Sanders, who was, she qualified for the first time, but it was her first time in the singles main draw because she reached the semi-finals of the doubles in 2021. So you want to be able to say, so for everybody else, I was saying it's your first time in the main draw, you know, but for Storm, I said, oh, it's your first time in the singles main draw. You know, just stuff like that. I think it really makes players loosen up a little bit more, and I think feel positive, because you know they don't like it if you're sort of making statements that are possibly not accurate. And then we had like Max Martyr, and I was like, this is the seventh time you've qualified for a Grand Slam. You know, we had Radu Albot, who's been, this is his seventh year in the main draw.
Been there.
Oh yeah, his kid was there with his
media.
Yeah. She was there with, you know, his biggest fan, and you had somebody who got in last year, was a lucky loser. But you also, you know, so you want to know their record at the tournament, at Grand Slams, you know, so you understand how big of a moment this is for them. But then you also need to know, like, have they had a tough year? Have they been injured? Has anything happened? Like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know, what's the deal? Somebody like Kaya Juvan, you know, she lost her father in November, and then has really struggled through the beginning of the season, taken a bit of time off, has tried to play, and it's been difficult, and really is now sort of getting things back together again. And she qualified, and she shouldn't be in qualifying. She was actually an alternate for qualifying, didn't expect to even get in because her rankings dropped so much because she's been not competing while she's been grieving. And, you know, so you need to understand that there's, I mean, I'm not going to ask her about her dad straight away, but, you know, you need to understand that, you know, you've had a really tough year, all of those sorts of things. So, yeah, you've got to be really on it. But yeah, I researched 64 players. I had to have, you know, at least a couple of lines on both of them so that we could have a good chat. And yeah, it was amazing. It was, incredible stories. The best react, well, we had two best reactions. There was one player just let out the biggest squeal of delight, Celine Naef, the Swiss player. I mean, you could just hear it around the grounds. It was just pure joy, almost like a childish joy. And that was just amazing. And then there was a big reaction from one of the players, and I cannot remember who it was. Let me just have a quick look. It was...
We had 64 of them.
Stevanovic.
That day, so there was
a lot. Exactly. It was Natalia Stevanovic, and she had the biggest smile because she lost in the last round of qualies last year. She's totally heartbroken, and yeah, she's finally done it. So anyway, it was brilliant. I was just getting emotional. I was just trying to keep it together myself, but yeah, it was awesome.
Look, these are these wonderful stories. If you're qualifying for the first time, and financially for these players, yes, okay, we had a Eugenie Bouchard in the draw, and financially she's fine, and it's not what it's about for her. But for some of these players, you know, the money you can make if you qualify, what is it, something like £50,000 for the first round, you know, that can make a massive difference if they want to hire a coach permanently or can pay for travel expenses or, you know, things like that. So as well with the prestige of qualifying for Wimbledon, it's that financial reward that these guys and girls are working so hard for that can make a massive difference.
Yeah, it's huge. And we also had a couple of youngsters as well. The final round, we had Mira Andreeva, the 16-year-old sensation.
Ooh,
I mean,
great.
She's a sensation.
She's so good.
She qualified, had a lovely chat with her. She's never played a single match on grass, no juniors, no nothing. She's never set foot on grass until... she came to Wimbledon qualifying. She's played
she's
three
so
matches,
good.
Won
oh,
three matches. And so I said to
she's
her,
so
you
good.
Know, I was like, oh, is it going to literally be your first time at the Wimbledon main site? Have you ever been there before as a spectator? You were never there as a junior. Because you've got to remember, so for her, the difficulty was last year she wasn't able to compete because she was Russian in the juniors. The year mm-hmm. before that, I think she was an alternate, didn't get in. And the year before that, I mean, she would have been too young and wouldn't have got in anyway, but 2020 was COVID year, so there was no Wimbledon. So there's a lot of players that have, you know, not really been able to... If you're Russian, that year plus the COVID year, you basically not really played on grass over the past three, 4 years. It's pretty extraordinary. So Yeah, so that was really cool. And then you had the other 16-year-old Brenda Frivatova, who, by contrast, got tight, set in a breakup, got tight, and lost in that final round of qualifying. I mean, look, she's going to be in the main draw. It's not going to be very long, but a bit of a learning process for her. But yeah, watch out for Andreeva.
Oh, no, she's incredible, and she talks so well. I think that's what we forget. You talked about, you know, the young ones and with COVID and for the Russians and Belarusians not being able to come over here to play on the grass last year. But I remember post-COVID being at Eastbourne and speaking to Bianca Andreescu, who just said, look, with the pandemic and the fact that this grass season is so small, I'm new to this surface. And we know the challenges of grass, and been speaking to the players here at Eastbourne this week about, and Eastbourne's slightly different because, well, they were described as hurricane winds by Madison Keys this week, but the differences and the adjustments that they have to make, and they've all come in saying, it's just such a small time. If you don't get it, you're not going to get it again till next year, because that's it. It's done, and off you go again. So there is a lot of pressure to come in and get it right. And some of those younger players have missed out on years because we had the pandemic. And then, as it were, for the Russians and Belarusians, they could play, obviously, tournaments outside of the UK last year, which Daria Kasatkina did, but they couldn't play over here in the UK. So we had the draw this morning. It started at 10 o'clock. It was live streamed.
I was watching it on the train.
Were you? I was preparing for the semis at Eastbourne while watching it and keeping an eye, sort of trying to keep eyes and ears everywhere. Right, where do you want to start? Men or women?
Let's start with the women. Let's start with the women's. Sorry, I didn't have my microphone anywhere near my face then. Let's start with the women.
No, that's
it's not, almost,
no, start with the women.
It's like
start
I should learn about broadcasting.
Women. now we've got, right, so we can pull out some ties of the round. We can also split it into sort of top and bottom half. So if you're looking at the top half, I'm just going to read out some names to you here in the top half. And it's not to say these are the names that are going to get the job done, but in terms of the standout names, the seeds, Świątek leads the way at the top. Now, she had to pull out of her semi-final in Bad Homburg in Germany because of a fever and what she thought might be food poisoning. Oh, that's the other thing before we get into the draw. It's a tricky one, these tournaments in the week before a Grand Slam, because you don't want to risk anything. If you've got a niggle, if there's a worry, you do not want to risk not being able to take up your place in Wimbledon, French Open, Australian Open, US Open.
Yeah, and it's difficult, isn't it? Because you then sort of want to be like, look, don't play the week before a slam if you're not going to be able to complete the event. However, you know, you don't necessarily know you're going to go deep. I mean, Madison Keys could have lost in the first round of Eastbourne, but yeah, here she is, yeah, in the final. So you don't know how it's going to play out, but it is difficult, and it is a bit annoying that players, you know, pull out the week before slams. You know, Osaka went through a phase of doing that. She did it quite a few times. I think quite a few times. People might have a go at me, and it might have only been like twice or something, but possibly in quick succession the week before a slam. But yeah, it's difficult. You've got to be fit and healthy. I mean, and I obviously it's a Grand Slam, and you might look at a lot of players and think, well, are you really going to win Wimbledon? Like, do you really need to be as fresh as possible? The money is just so colossally, like, exactly, double, triple, quadruple, that I don't even know what comes next. It's so much more than you're getting anywhere else. It's that's your living. You have to bank the four Grand Slams. That gives you your base for the year, and then everything else is sort of on top.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right, so the top half, I'm just going to throw some names out here. We can discuss these names, see who we think is going to go deep from the top half. Iga Świątek at the top. We've got
deep.
Petra Martic, who I... thank you. Who I've been watching this week. A veteran on the... I'm not going to give you names, then we can sort of go back to a few of them. Let me just rattle off. Petra Martic, just been watching her. Magdalena Barbora Strzycewa, who I think is going to be fifth or sixth tournament back since she had her son. Belinda Bencic, Kasatkina, who, when people listen to this, may or may not be the Eastbourne champion. Victoria Azarenka, Elise Mertens, Venus Williams, who will face Elena Svitolina. Coco Gauff, Sofia Kenin, who came through qualifying. Sloane Stephens, Caroline Garcia, who did have a lot of strapping on her right shoulder, and she retired. And Annette Kontaveit playing her final ever tournament.
Yeah. And I think you forgot Caroline Garcia.
No, I said Garcia. That's the one with the strapping on the shoulder.
Oh, sorry. Fair enough. I was just expecting her to come last because she's at the bottom of that section.
I thought I'd end with Kontovit just because it's... we had an interview with her on Five Live the other day talking about, and it's the problem in her back. It's the pressure. She can't train. She can't play as she would want to. And she sounded quite at peace with the decision. But when you think she's a former world number two and that season that she had, it's... she says she might look to do something within the sporting world in some sense. But it's quite sad and it's quite emotional that Danette Kontaveit's career has been cut short.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing that she's even playing. But as you say, it's just the persistent nature of it all and the fact that it's a chronic issue that's just not going to go away. I mean, yeah, former world number two. She's phenomenal. And it always felt like she just never quite... even though she got to number two in the world, but we never saw her there for a long period of time. It was such a roller coaster of a career, so much potential. And I think for the whole of her career, we felt like it's just got to come together. It's just coming together. And, you know, and as I say, she did get to number two in the world, so it did come together, but it felt quite brief. So we feel a little bit robbed of you know, her peak, really. What's interesting to me in this half is you've got Coco Gauff.
Yeah.
A lot of people talking about Coco Gauff to win the title, and I'll say the same thing that I said at the French Open. That forehand cannot survive the big strikers, especially not on grass. I just don't see it, personally.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I watched her against Keys today, and Keys had the power to exploit it, and the forehand was breaking down. Gauff had come comfortably through the draw, but there was no one who had the power to draw the errors and cause problems on the forehand side. But against Keys today, we did start to see the Gauff forehand breakdown.
Yeah, and it will. You know, a striker like Keys, it will. A Keys, a Rybakina, a Sabalenka, they would have to be playing below their level for Gauff to be able to win those matches. That's my personal opinion. However, saying that, it's not all bad news for the Coco Gauff fans because there are not many big hitters in the top half. Okay, you've got Swiatek, she's not really a big hitter, but she's a very fast player. We know she's a little unproven on the grass, although she won Junior Wimbledon. You know, it's not like she can't play on it. It's just taking her a little bit more time because we just don't get much time on the grass. But I cannot pick out a player in that top half that I go, they can overwhelm the Coco Gauff forehand, with the exception of Swiatek playing very well. So she really could find herself in the final again. I don't know if there's anyone else leaping out to you that can maintain the right level of that pace. I don't know.
Now, I'm a little bit thinking about that. What about Garcia? I actually, a couple of days ago, was thinking, how about Garcia to go deep at Wimbledon? Then I saw all that shoulder strapping, and then I was stuck between how much of that is precautionary because of Wimbledon, how much of that is there is a real problem with that shoulder. But she hits big. She's been playing consistency, and she's in that bottom little chunk around Coco Gauff.
If Garcia were to play incredibly well, then she could... absolutely overwhelm Gauff, but I think there's really not a lot of margin. She would have to be playing the level that we saw from Garcia at the Tour Finals last year. It has to be peak Garcia. That could happen because we've had glimpses of it over the past year. She's here as the fifth seed. She has a huge amount of points, but as she wouldn't meet Gauff until the semi-finals, so that. You know, would she get tight? Would she be able to perform to her best? I don't know. Look, Swiatek for me is still the favourite, of course, to come through that half. Yeah. But I do think it's interesting because we had a long chat Wimbledon qualifying. I was talking with Andrew Castle and John Lloyd and about Coco Gauff's chances. And I just thought, well, if there's a big hitter around. I mean, look, she's got Sofia Kenin in the first round. Gauff could go out first round. I watched Kenin play in the qualifying. She looked very good. Like, she looked very, very good. She had to beat Taylor Townsend in the last round of qualifying. That could be a quarter final in the main draw. Absolutely bonkers. Wow. She beat her in straight sets. And she looked locked in. She looked far more consistent and together than we've seen from her before. So that is a potential first round exit for Gauff. I really do think so. I mean, if you're telling me who I think is going to win that match, I think Goff's going to win that match. But there is definitely an upset alarm going off on that. So, look, things in this section, I tend to agree. I think looking good for Swiatek, looking good for Gauff, as long as she can get through that first round. Interesting, Garcia, possibly a Vekic. She loves the grass. It feels quite open, the second quarter.
Venus Williams against Lena Svitolina. I'm not tipping either to win the title, but how about that for a first round match?
Yeah, I know. It's great and sort of unfortunate at the same time, isn't it? Because it means one of them has to go out, and we don't want either one of them to go out. And you know, look, Venus came back and she's winning matches, so I don't know. I feel like Svitolina is probably going to be too consistent and move too well after her run at the clay, but grass is not her favourite surface, so I think it'll be a lot of fun. Like, I mean, it's always great to watch Venus play on the grass.
It's funny, I've really, you're looking at the draws, and what I've done is picked out names from the top and bottom half, and my bottom half list of names is a lot longer. So here we go.
Yes.
Ange Burt.
Long and short of it is a good draw for Swiatek. Yes. She's got a great half.
She has a great half. We're in the bottom. Ange Burt, Bianca Andreescu. And this is not everyone. Karolina Pliskova, Petra Kvitova, Beatriz Haddad-Meier. Haddad-Meier had a lower leg injury. She had to pull out of Eastbourne. Kvitova pulled out because everything she had done in Berlin winning the title. We've got Tatiana Maria, who we know plays well on gloss. Yelena Ostapenko, who pulled out with dizziness from Eastbourne. We've got Elise Cornet, that likes to cause problems to the big players. We've got the Wimbledon champion there. Then Maria Sakkari, Marta Kostyuk, Paula Badosa, who's been, I think, at Boodles, warming up with Tsitsipas on the grass there. Madison Keys, who may or may not be the new Eastbourne champion. Ondrejva, I just put her in there because I think she's fabulous. Krejcikova, who was runner-up in Birmingham. Niemeyer, who I know, I think she got slightly injured, was it, in Berlin? But we know what she can do on grass. And Arena Sabalenka. I don't know if you want to add any more names to the ones I've picked out there from that bottom half.
It's absolutely stacked. It is very bottom heavy. That's what it is. This is a pear-shaped draw. And so many people. There's no way of knowing who's coming through. Absolutely no way of knowing. I mean, we can pick out the absolute favourites, of course. Jabeur, Rybakina, Kvitova, Sabalenka. I think they're the out-and-out favourites from that half. But you have some really, really big threats in there as well. It's fascinating. A tough opener for Rybakina against Shelby Rogers, that, actually. That'd be fascinating. Actually, you know, it dawned on me today. What a privileged position. Look, she'd probably argue she would have preferred to have the points last year. But you're coming back as the Wimbledon champion. And you have no points to defend. You don't have 2,000 points coming off.
You don't have
Isn't
that
extraordinary?
Pressure.
You're coming. So surely you just get to enjoy it. You just get to turn up and be like, if I lose first round, who cares? I won the thing last year. It literally makes no difference to me. I'm still the third seed. I'll be the third seed. Like, that's it. That's quite cool.
It's going to be interesting to see. She said it was the virus that she hadn't shaken off since Roland Garros, the reason she had to withdraw before her opener in Eastbourne. Hopefully it was just for precautionary reasons, but it's going to be interesting. Beatriz Haddad-Meier, I mean, she'd swept up on the grass a couple of titles, didn't she? Nottingham, Birmingham last year. This year hasn't been as successful, but she's got a big game. It works well on the surface. There's just dangers everywhere you look at. In terms of, I just picked out some first round matches. Maria Sakkari against Marta Kostyuk. Karolina Muchová, the Roland Garros finalist, against Yuli Niemeyer. I did pick out the Venus Williams match, the Coco Gauff match. You mentioned Elena Rybakina. So the question is, if we're saying Swiatek is not going to sail through, but will be pretty happy with that top half, who do you have in the bottom half getting to the latter stages? Narrow it down a bit. Come on.
I mean, I picked those few.
Yeah. I want fewer.
Well, I might actually pick somebody who's not in that few.
Yeah, no,
Ostapenko.
Yeah.
It's so difficult. I mean, Rybakina has played so consistently well, and I got very excited on a pod not long ago, because when you get the big hitters playing consistently, that is really exciting. It means you can sort of bank on them a fair amount. They're not going to have that match off where they just sort of miss a lot. Sabalenka, of course, has got a lot more consistent. I mean, wouldn't that be great to have that as a semi-final? I don't know, really. I feel like it's not necessarily going to be who we expect. So, yeah.
You know,
I don't know, Ostapenko, Keys, Kvitova. I'm drawn to Kvitova.
You know, at the end of this, I'm going to ask for your finalists and your winner, right? You know that, okay?
Mm.
So you're going to have to narrow it down from the kind of 10 you've got going on right now. Although I think I had three for Roland Garros. We're moving on to the men. Here we go. Let's start with the... Wow, I wrote a lot of names down for the top half of the men's draw. Okay, I'm just going to throw out some names here. Let's see how... Oh, God, I have written a lot of names. So men's top half, the very, very top is the Queen's champion, Alcaraz. I've got Jarry in there. I've got Zverev, Berrettini, who faces Sonego, Dimonor, TFO, Dimitrov, Alejandro Davidovich Fokina. I'm not saying all these people are going to win it. I'm just picking out people. Rune, Raonic. Milos Raonic is back.
Yay, Milos.
Tommy Paul, Cam Norrie, Sebi Korda, Ben Shelton. Andy Murray gets Ryan Peniston as a first rounder. And then Dominic Thiem against Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Oh, I was watching that one come out live. I couldn't watch all of the draw, but I did yelp. On the train, that little section, because it was Peniston against Murray, and for me being British, it was sort of a, like, you know, that was an interesting draw. And then followed by Thiem Tsitsipas was... pretty extraordinary. Yes, it is a little weightier this half, isn't it? What are you asking? Who's going to go deep? Who's going to go deep?
Yeah, who's standing out for you? And it might be a name that I haven't written down there, but who for you? I mean, how are you feeling about Alcaraz now? He's like, oh, wow, the light bulb moment at Queen's. He's like, oh, grass, this is all right, isn't it? But yeah. We had Sebi Korda saying, I think I'm one of the favourites. And we've had TFO winning a title and saying, yeah, you know what? I think I could go deep there as well. And Holger Rune is always going to be full of confidence. So where are you kind of sat with that section of the draw?
Yeah, pretty set on Alcaraz, really.
Oh yeah, okay.
To be honest, coming through that, I mean, watch out for a big run from Cam Norrie, last year's semi-finalist. I think he's got a really good section. He has a tricky one against Sebastian Korda. That could potentially be in the third round they might meet.
So you think Norrie comes through against Korda?
I don't know. I think he could.
Okay.
I think he could with the British crowd. I think we could get an elevated performance from Norrie. And then that's the sort of, that's the Tsitsipas section. And, you know, Steph's been all over the place, really.
He's in love. That's why he's all over the place. He's in love.
Well, it might be the case. It might not be. I don't know when he fell in love. Who knows? I wouldn't want to hazard a guess. But that could be interesting, though, as a seed. You know, for Andy Murray, if he can get past the Brit, the wild card, which we're expecting him to get to the second round, to take on Tsitsipas, that could be interesting. We've had a very shaky Tsitsipas recently. It will be on centre court. There'll be a feisty British crowd. It will be in the evening. And I could see that that could be an upset. I think... It's fascinating because when you're playing against the high seeds, you've got obviously the carrot. If you beat them, then Murray takes the fifth seed position. That is exceptional. And then suddenly a deep run, a good draw is a bit more likely. So that could be pretty epic.
Berrettini is not the Berrettini of recent times, and he faces Lorenzo Sonego, which is a tough one in the first round. We've also got Alex de Minaur, finalist in Queens up there, Francis Tiafoe with his title and full of confidence. I mean everywhere you look, there's just I think it's great. Yes, I know we're going to come down to the same conclusion. I know we're both going to pick the same winner, Wimbledon. Well, I'm 99% sure we are both. Some days I think, why are we going through this? Because I have a feeling we both know who's going to win Wimbledon. I might be wrong. But saying that, if we just look at the top half of the draw, we've got players in form. We've got young players who believe. We've got, I don't know, I think, and I'm really happy to see Milos Raonic. I know he doesn't love the grass and everyone assumes he should love the grass. And he had that awful slip a few years ago in the injury. But I'm quite happy to see Milos Raonic back.
Yeah, definitely. He's great. Former finalist. Big serving. Let's do it. Yeah, I mean, look, everybody's going to be fighting it out. But yeah, there's some, I don't know, it's interesting. If you're somebody like an Andy Murray, I think it's a really interesting section. I think also a Seb Korda. Now, only one of them can get through to the fourth round, but, you know, a Seb Korda, I think it's really interesting for a Cam Norrie. You know, there's a lot of players in there, a lot of big names who don't necessarily love the grass. You know, watch out for, you know, Grigor Dimitrov. You know, he could be tricky if he finds some form. Yeah.
So bottom half. My list is a wee bit shorter than the bottom. Not by much, to be honest, but here we go. Throwing names out. Feel free to add more. I don't want anyone to be like, they didn't mention this person. I'm just throwing names out. Jannik Sinner, who I think opened up with Djokovic centre court, didn't they? They kind of warmed it up together. I've got Dan Evans in that. I know he doesn't have the form that he would want coming into this, but throwing in some British names. Taylor Fritz, who went out early in Eastbourne. I think he lost to Mackenzie McDonald. Borna Coric, Denis Shapovalov. We have Casper Ruud and his golf clubs and his Samsonite suitcases. We've got Andre Rublev. We've got David Goffin, wild card against Nick Kyrgios. We've got Bublik, who won a title on the grass recently, beating Rublev in the final. Felix Auger-Aliassime, Lorenzo Musetti, John Isner, Hubert Hurkacz, Stan Wawrinka, and at the very bottom, Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, Djokovic's got to be happy, hasn't he? Really, I think it's gone as well as you could imagine. I mean, potential fourth round against Lorenzo Musetti or Hubert Hurkacz, but you know, Musetti, yeah, he's much more comfortable on the clay. Hurkacz, of course, loves the grass. Is it going to be good enough to upset Djokovic? Can't see it. Just can't see it. I don't know whether we're getting into territory of how they used to play Wimbledon 100 years ago, where it was just the winner turned up for the final and everybody else just fought it out, and it was just to earn a place to play against Djokovic in the final, because it feels a little ominous, doesn't it? I mean, he's the heavy favourite here.
Heavy fit. From what you... I don't know how much you saw of Alcaraz at Queens. And I know we have the memories of Alcaraz at Roland Garros and admitting that he cramped because he was nervous. He was facing Djokovic on the stage. He was facing him on. So people, I don't know whether the player himself will have that in the back of his mind, but people will. How much of a challenge do you think Alcaraz can pose Novak Djokovic on the grass courts of Wimbledon? Should that be the case, and should this be the final?
He can pose him a challenge, especially if he's made the final. Then he's obviously playing very well, because that's when he will meet Djokovic, is in the final. He can pose him a challenge. I honestly, I'm going to go out there a little bit and say that I don't think he can really pose a proper threat, because if he plays him in the final, it's a Grand Slam final, which is much more pressurized than the round. What was it? Was it quarters? Yeah. Did they play at the French?
Yeah.
Quarters in the French. That is much different. It's on his least favourite surface. Look, he can play very well on the grass. He will play very well on the grass. He'll probably win Wimbledon one day. But, you know, everything's working against him here. Everything was working for him at the French. And everything's working against him. You know, I don't think they're going to be going into that match with it feeling even at all. It's going to be, okay, let's see what Alcaraz can do here, which unfortunately is what it's like for everyone.
Okay, so let's start with the men. So I think we both know our winner, but who will our winner be facing in the final? Who does Novak Djokovic face in the final as he looks for his 24th Grand Slam title, his 8th Wimbledon title to match Roger Federer's men's record? Who have you got?
Andy Murray!
Hey!
Now, why do you act as if I'm joking?
That's because not fair. I was looking. I have to say, I would love that. I would love that as much as you. But there was and Andy Murray's done so well. He didn't quite get his seeding, and he won those two challenger events. But you kind of have to remind yourself they were challenger events. You see what I mean? Like, after you won those two, and it's great, you've got the matches in your leg and you're winning matches. But there was a ripple of, oh, well, wow, good for Wimbledon, which it will be, but maybe he can go really deep and win Wimbledon, which I don't think he can do, because we saw against Dimonor first round of Queens, the level changed. And I know it's different. It's over five sets. He's got the experience. It's Wimbledon. There'll be the crowd. He's got the muscle memory of being there, doing that, winning it. But if you look at Murray, what he would have to do and who he would have to beat to get to the final, I think I'm being really harsh and I'm not. I think if he gets the fourth round, it will be very, 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 very good. Very, very good.
It will. Yes, of course it will. But he's got a lot of opportunity in the draw, which is excellent. So that's good. That's what we want for somebody like Andy. If you're Sebastian Korda,
yeah,
I think you've got to be feeling like this is it. This is the time. I mean, I don't know whether he's got the metal in those big moments, but really, you look at this and it should be Seb Korda coming through to the semi-finals to play Alcaraz, really.
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of the level we know that Korda can play on the grass. Now, I think Alcaraz beat Korda at Queens. I was watching a bit of that. You know, yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. It's difficult. Very, very difficult. I mean, we have two players in Djokovic and Alcaraz playing so significantly better than everybody else. So it's just so, like, how do you pick somebody else? But I'd like to see Korda in the semis.
I think I was looking at that. And for people saying, what about Kyrgios? He says he's the only man that can beat Djokovic at Wimbledon. He would if he was fully fit and had matches in his legs. The problem is he hasn't and he isn't. So I think that will be...
Not this year.
Yeah, not this year. But, you know, maybe 1 year. And I was exactly... I was going to say Korda in the final to face Djokovic. And then you're drawn back to Alcaraz and seeing how he's like a sponge, isn't he? Figures things out so quickly. As you saw him at Queens, like, wasn't it like his third grass court event? You're like, oh, right, you get it. Well done. Done it really well. Mm. I'm going to have three...
Korda would have to not put a foot wrong.
He'd have to not put a foot wrong
in that semi-final to win.
Can I have three people in the final again? Nope. Yes.
You always do.
I'm going to have Djokovic against Alcaraz and Korda. I can't.
Djokovic will still win.
Yeah, no, yes.
He'll
still
win playing both of them.
Djokovic, he's going to play both of them at the same time and he's going to win. So to the ladies, to the women, who do you have in it? Is it?
Well, it's your turn to go first.
Well, you had
this time,
easy
like
one.
The men.
Everyone's going to... I'm just slightly thrown about all these niggles and pulling out and withdrawings and I don't know how true or how serious or how... I think Ostapenko's a dark horse, absolutely. You know, when she's on it, I mean, she makes me laugh and she's just unstoppable. Kvitova, I know what you mean. She's got that title coming in. She's got those five matches under her belt. She's looking good. She knows what it's like to win here. Why have I started in the difficult half of the draw? Why didn't I start in the top half? Go to the top half. I want to back Garcia. I want to back Garcia. She had a lot of strapping. She had a lot of strapping.
You know what? I like it.
On her shoulder there. The shoulder strapping was intense. But I'm going that there are still frailties in the Świątek game on grass, although she has looked pretty good in Germany until obviously getting the fever and the food poisoning. I'm going to go Garcia in the front. I'm just going to try and be a little bit different. I'm going to have Garcia against Rybakina, and I'm having Rybakina defending the title.
Rybakina defending the title.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that.
Really? Oh, well, I love Sabalenka, but Rybakina, she's as cool as a cucumber. In those situations, she's as cool as a cucumber. And as long as that virus isn't too bad and it doesn't flare up, then I don't see... And she knows how to do it. She's done it before. I don't see what would stop her. Or who. What.
Yeah.
What. Who. Right. Okay. Over to you.
I've got a bit of a shout. I did mention her briefly earlier. But I'm going to go... Maybe not for the final.
Oh.
Possibly. Donna Vekic.
Ew. Wow. Like it. Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Final in Berlin, losing to Kvitova. But even before knowing that form, she loves the grass and she has a really, really good draw. Very favourable draw, I think. You know, I think she can get on a run. And I feel like with Vekic, if she's going to get to like fourth round type of thing, you know, because Garcia is her seed. And I could absolutely see Vekic being a real nuisance. She's got very flat strikes, really loves the grass. She could absolutely disrupt the Garcia game.
Don't go knocking out out my finalist. Come on.
Well, she's going to have to. She's going to have to. So, yeah, whether she makes the final or not, I can see Donna in the semis. That's what I can see. And then to play Goff or Świątek. But I think Donna could really get in at them as well.
I feel we've still got an awful lot of players. Right, come on.
Amazing? Right, okay, fine. Okay, I'm going to say top half.
Yeah. In the final. Who's going to be in the final from the top half?
I was just about to do it.
Well, you changed your mind. You've stalled. You're changing your mind.
I have stalled. I'm changing my mind between two players. It's going to be Goff or Świątek, and I can't decide.
So, okay, right. Which one?
Okay, I'm going to go Goff. I'm going to say she's going to make the final. And do you know what?
Hang on, we've had the forehand stuff and the bits and pieces and she's in the final.
Well, yeah, because I said there's no one in the top half who can break apart a forehand. No one.
Okay.
Right. Possibly Swiatek, but I don't know about on the grass. If she was in the bottom half, Goff would not be getting past the third round.
Right.
But
okay. Yeah.
That's how it's fallen. Oh, okay. I think that's a terrible call now that I've made it.
Well, no.
in the bottom half. Right. Who's going to win the thing then? The winner's going to come from the bottom half. And I think this is going to be Sabalenka's turn. That's what I think.
Are you? Is it? You know what? It's going to be. The one time I think in the last however many Grand Slams I haven't picked Sabalenka, she'll now win it. I think. So who else said today? Someone else told me today, they thought, Anne Kjothvong, who I was with, I got predictions, and obviously it was Djokovic, and she went Sabalenka. And I've, for some reason, not gone Sabalenka. I always go Sabalenka. Okay, so you've got Sabalenka against Goff with Sabalenka winning. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. And we've also got a really great first round that we hadn't mentioned in Mira Andreeva, the 16-year-old, taking on Zhiyu Wang. If she were to win that, Andreeva, watch out. Watch out.
She your dark horse?
No. Once she's won the first round, then maybe she will be my dark horse.
Watch out. No. And I'm going to have Ostapenko as...
I'm being honest.
I'm having Ostapenko as my dark horse. Because I like...
Oh, do we get a dark horse?
Yes. Would you like a dark horse?
Oh, if I can have really a... considered one, to be honest.
If I can have a former grandson.
Do you know what? I've picked Vekic.
Dark horse.
So she's my dark horse, yeah. Right. I mean, she's a 20th seed. It's not really that dark, but you know.
Well, look, I've picked a former Grand Slam champion. So again, we haven't really gotten Emma. That's why I think you should have gone on Andreeva. That would be a proper...
Can you imagine? I had her at the French Open. Donna Vekic now makes the final.
Well,
I feel like such a baller.
But we've got it on tape. You can't change it because you had an opportunity to stick with her. And now you haven't.
I've already hyped her up enough that I will happily accept that as a...
As a win. I take that as a win. Right, so we've got our picks. That is we're all set for Wimbledon. We are gonna be working together but apart, as we know that always happens. We will pass each other in certain rooms. We might throw to each other in commentary, or we're both working at 5 Live, but they won't put us together at all. But we'll see each other normally in the mornings. And that's it, isn't it? Normally in the mornings?
Yeah. Yeah. We can have a little chat in the morning.
Little chat in the mornings. Little chat of tea, I should say. That sounds like we're going to start drinking in the mornings. Have a little drink in the morning. We won't do that. Commentary wouldn't work. Or it might do. And then we're going to get together for the pod at some point. We can't say when because we've got to look at our schedules. And hopefully at some point they'll either give us both a little early finish or both the same match and we can sneak away and round up week one.
Sounds good. I'm changing my pick. It's going to be Sabalenka Swiatek in the final.
What?
Sabalenka beats Swiatek. Bye.